Again, welcome to the Central Church of Christ this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're so glad that you're here, and I pray that you'll be encouraged by the time that you are able to spend with our family this morning. I do want to make mention, as Doug talked about, the traffic and the chaos, I believe, is already starting to happen in our area due to all that. Our offices, the church office, will be closed tomorrow, and the benevolent pantry will be closed as well. Right, Ronnie? Okay. So we want to make you aware of that. So if you call the church and nobody answers, that's why. You know, there's a lot going on in our world right now. I don't typically call attention to world events. I try to leave those sometimes out of the pulpit because I believe the other 6 days of the week we hear enough about it. Am I right? All right. Because if you turn on the news, you're going to see our world is absolutely full of hate. It's full of racism. It's full of prejudice. It's full of selfish people. It's full of riots. It's full of protest. And I believe the media has done a wonderful job of focusing in on that lately in our society. But all of us understand it's been that way for some time. And I don't expect it to get, to a certain extent, any better. And also, unless you're living underneath a rock, tomorrow is a total eclipse. And for a lot of us, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I understand they happen, but they don't happen like they're going to happen with the clear skies all across our great nation. And I tell you, at first, when I started looking at the eclipse and thinking about the eclipse and started hearing about the eclipse on the news and things like that, I wasn't that impressed. I'm like, okay, who cares, right? The world still goes on, people. But the more I look at it, the more I study it, the more I'm in awe about it. The more I look at it, the more I study it, the more I become excited about it. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to it tomorrow. I look forward to spending the time with my family and my kids, being able to see maybe this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And I think it's going to be amazing. And I pray that each and every one of you are able to see it with the glasses on. Don't show up here next Sunday not being able to see. Okay? So I couldn't help but think about when I was looking at preparing the lesson for, you know, we've been in a series called Rooted. We've been looking at some fundamentals, some Bible truths. We looked at truth, we've looked at faith, and this morning I had planned on talking about baptism, really looking at baptism throughout the entire Bible, and how baptism is one thing that is so neglected in our society, in our religious world. But again, I started thinking about the world. I started thinking about what's going on. I started thinking about the eclipse. And guess what? Light won. The light won. So we're going to talk about light this morning, because if there's one thing that our world needs right now, it's more light. Amen? We need more Jesus. We need more Jesus. We need more Christians to shine their lights. God needs people like you and people like me to be able to go out into this community and shine our lights as bright as they can. The problem is, a lot of Christians aren't doing that. A lot of Christians are just living their lives. A lot of Christians are just showing up on Sunday morning, or possibly maybe even Wednesday night. But what we need are disciples. What we need are Christians. What God needs are Christians that will every single day go out into this community and make a difference. As Doug said, to go out into this community and to give someone a positive word, to encourage someone. Two texts I want to look at this morning, and then I'm going to offer just a few ideas about light and ways that, and I hope will be an encouragement to you. The first is going to be John chapter 8. Jesus here is addressing the Pharisees in the temple. And actually, if you look at John chapter 8 on through chapter 10, you see this conflict, this discourse that he's having with the Pharisees. It's kind of this back and forth talk they're having. I wouldn't call it necessarily an argument. They're just simply trying to prove Jesus wrong. But in the context here, we're going to look at John chapter 8, verses 12 through 30. Again, we're not going to read all this for time's sake. But Jesus lets his enemies know, he lets the Pharisees know, that I am the light. And what's interesting is, again, Jesus is in the temple. Jesus is in the treasury part of the temple, strangely called the court of women. Can't make that up. So Jesus is in this court, and he's having this discussion, and no doubt there's going to be light in there. And this was, people were giving their money, you know, these big drums set up, and people would walk by and just sling their money in. And there's this chandelier with candles or lamps, whatever would have been there. So you think about Jesus is having this discourse, and all of a sudden he looks at one of these chandeliers and he says, you know what? I'm the light. I'm the light of this world. And from this point on, there began this back and forth discussion between him and the Pharisees. He hasn't performed any miracles. He's just simply talking to them. And he's teaching them. And I love when you get to the end of John chapter 8 in verse 30, it says this, many came to believe in him after he spoke all of these things. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says that faith comes from what? Hearing. That is what happens when you let Jesus speak, friends. That's what happens when you don't twist his word, you don't change his word, you just allow the words of Jesus to speak, and he'll change your heart. And that's what the Jews were doing here. So what do you mean, Jesus? What do you mean, Jesus? What do you mean you are the light? What are you trying to tell us, Jesus? I think Jesus is trying to say this. I mean, in this world full of crime, this world full of hate, this world full of heresy, where there's murder, where there's no hope, in this world full of sin, Jesus says, I came to dispel that. I came to get rid of that. I came to be a light to people. I came to be a breath of fresh air to people. I came to be the light at the end of the tunnel for people. I came to be hope for people. I came so that people seeing this world, seeing how cruel this world is, and thinking there's no way out of this, there's nothing I can do, I came to prove people wrong. I came to prove to people that there's a better way, and that there's a brighter way. And Jesus says, I am the light, and there's no other light but me. So Jesus says, it's either me or the darkness. It's either me or darkness. The question is, which one is it for you this morning? Are you following the light? You've got to answer that to yourself. You can't ignore that question. You can't pass that question off and say, I'll answer it one day. No, you have to answer it right now to yourself. Am I following Jesus? Am I allowing his word to light my path? Or am I simply walking in darkness? Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. A verse that most of us are all familiar with. Jesus is at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount there, Matthew chapter 5 through 7, and 13 and 14, he tells us that we are the salt of the earth, we are the light of the world. So here is this presupposition that the world is absolutely decaying. And Jesus says, you're salt. You stop that. You protect that. And he says, the world is so dark that there needs to be light. And Jesus says, we are living in a corrupt and dark world. And Jesus says, you know what? I need you to be different. Because let me tell you something, friends. Listen to me. We cannot affect the world unless we're being different. You can't change the world by being the world. You can't change the world by acting, talking, thinking, and being like the world. The only way you're going to change the world is if you're different than the world. And that's what Jesus is saying. The only way you're going to change the world, the only way you're going to make disciples is if you're being the salt and if you're being the light. And I know a lot of times the world doesn't make that easy on us. But does that mean that we stop shining our lights? No. Because let me tell you something this morning. People are lost. Our families are lost. Our friends, a lot of times, are lost. And Jesus says they need light. And there are a lot of alarms going off right now. If there is one thing I've learned to silence on my phone, and some of you may not like that, it's that alarm. Because in the middle of the night, in that deep, beautiful sleep, there's that alarm. Jesus says to let your light shine. Jesus says your family, your friends, those that are lost in your community, those that are lost in, everybody just turn your phone off. We'll never get through this lesson. We'll be here all day. It's an Amber Alert. All right, well, we'll try to get through this then. We might be here till the eclipse happens tomorrow. So let's move on. We looked at John chapter 8, and we understand that Jesus is the light. We looked at Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus says we are to be the light. So let me offer some encouragement. Let me offer you something that light does. Number one, light brings sight, and light brings understanding. It's a known fact that without light, guess what? You cannot see. If we were to turn these lights out, if we were to darken the windows from the sunlight, it would be pitch black in here. You would not be able to see. So light makes it possible for us to see. It's a known fact. I've mentioned before the lost sea, the lost pond, as I like to call it, up north, just north of us. It's a very eerie feeling going into a cave like that, and they've got it lit up. But there's one part on the tour where they said, all right, everybody get together because we're going to turn out the lights. And they turn out that light, and that darkness just gives you that feeling, doesn't it? If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. It is black. It is dark. You cannot see your hand in front of your face. And there is just a feeling that it gives you, a feeling that I'd really, be honest with you, don't like. That was the world before Jesus. That's the world without Jesus. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Paul was talking about the Gentiles, and he was talking about salvation that is only found in God. And instead of next going into God's grace and God's love, what Paul moves forward in is God's wrath. Okay? And he says in verses 21 and 22, even though they knew God and did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations as their foolish heart was darkened. He said, professing to be wise, they became what? Fools. The Gentiles were spiritually blind. They had failed to honor God. They had failed to give thanks to God. So let me ask a question this morning. Does our world fail to honor God? Do they fail to give God thanks for all that he has done, for all that he will do? Is our world spiritually blind? Yes. But here's the question I have for Christians. Do we care enough to change it? Do we even care enough to do something about it? John chapter 12 and verse 35, those that walk in darkness do not know where they are going. Let me share something with you. The world that we live in has lost sight of who we are. The world that we live in has lost sight of who we are supposed to be. The world has lost sight of where we have come from. The world has lost sight of why we are here and where we are going. And if we are not careful, we're going to have exactly what Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14. He said to the Pharisees, leave them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man leads a blind man, they both fall into the pit. Dare Jesus say that about us? Jesus said, Christians, you're the light of the world. You're to be different. You're to bring others to Jesus by the lives that you live. That's how people see Jesus. And sometimes that's the only way people see Jesus. Light brings life. You know, without the sun, all earth would cease to exist sooner or later. I read one thing on the internet. I don't know if this is true or not. I just found it and I thought it was neat that if the sun stopped shining, we would have about 9 minutes left to enjoy the sun here on earth. The temperatures would drop significantly. Within just a few days, it would be below zero. And I told Rhonda, I was going to say this, some of you ain't going to make it. Some of you right now, I feel like it's 75 degrees in here. Some of you feel like it's about negative 75 degrees. Some of you freeze to death in here. You're not going to make it if the sun stops shining very long. But all the plants would die, all the animals that relied on them would die, and the animals are going to die, then we rely a lot of times on the animals, so we're going to die. And it doesn't sound very pleasant, does it? A lot of times, that big light in the sky, we take it for granted, we complain about it. But if it wasn't for that light, guess what? We wouldn't be here. Jesus gives that life. Psalm chapter 36 and verse 9, you are the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. John 6 and verse 48, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Verse 63 of John 6, it's the Spirit who gives life. Peter later on in verse 68 of John chapter 6 says, you have the words of eternal life, Jesus. So Jesus gives life and we need life. This world needs life. Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Spiritual life can be found nowhere except through Jesus. We've talked about that recently. You can't get spiritual life anywhere but through Jesus. God is the creator of the physical, and he is the provider for our spiritual life. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new things have come. The spiritual life is that new life, and that's only possible through Jesus Christ. That's only possible because of the light. So the light brings us life. Light brings us security. You afraid of the dark? I would admit, sometimes it gets a little eerie. Sometimes you come to this building at night, me or Matt or Bill's up here working at midnight or something, it's a dark building. And there's some strange people that walk around this building at night sometimes. That's why we got cameras up. Is it anything uncommon for someone to be afraid of the dark? I mean, I think especially in children, some of you may be Stephen King fans. He was interviewed and asked, when do you do your writing? You know, I would suggest by reading your books, you did your writing at night. He said, no, I do my writing first thing in the morning. And he said, well, why don't you write at night? He says, are you kidding? The stuff that I write, you want me to write at night? Stephen King knows the power of darkness. Let me tell you something, friends. Because of the light, we don't have to fear darkness. It's the same way in our society. We have street lights. Some of you, your house is lit up like Fort Knox, okay? We've got nights on our lights on our phones. Our kids have night lights, you know, to keep the boogeyman away. I think I just ruined sleep for a lot of kids tonight. But it's true. It's true. When you have Jesus in your life, you don't have to fear. Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come so that you can have life and have life abundantly. You don't have to be scared to death wondering, if I lay my head down tonight, am I going to go to heaven? If I leave this life, am I going to go to heaven? Jesus says, no, you can have that. You can have that security. And we like the feelings of security, don't we? We like being secure. We like that feeling. The Golden Gate Bridge was built in two different phases. The first stage, there were no safety nets used. 23 men died. After that, the final part of the project, they used a safety net. And because of that safety net, production was increased by 25%. You want to know why? Those men were assured of their security. So they could work better. They could work faster. They could work more diligently. Security is an important element in life. And the question is, what about our spiritual life? Do we not want to be able to pillow our head at night again thinking that if I go tonight, if something happens, I'm going home to Jesus. I'm going home to God. Some of us need to be reminded of that. And I think some of the most need to be reminded of verses in the Bible are these. And they're listed on the screen, and I'm going to run through them quickly. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, as Randy said earlier, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the verse says, as long as we walk in the light, that the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We need that verse. Romans 8 and 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid of what man can do to me. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. And one of my favorites is Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced, Paul says, that neither death, life, angels, principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The light, Jesus Christ, brings security. And finally, light brings hope. You ever had a bad night? One of those nights where you couldn't sleep and you literally just stayed up all night. Whether you're going through something personally, whether it was a doctor's report that day, whether someone in your family is suffering, and you stayed up all night, and in the morning time you watched that sun come over the horizon, and you looked at that sun and you thought, you know what, there is hope. God's given us another day. Jesus came to bring hope to hopeless people. And he continually brings that to hopeless people. He continually brings peace and the hope of righteousness and the hope of eternal life. Darkness doesn't do that. There is absolutely no hope in darkness. And a lot of people are afraid of dying, and I get that. I'm afraid of dying to a certain extent as well, because you know, you have the separation of loved ones, you have the separation of seeing someone. I understand that to a degree. But friends, because of Jesus, death isn't the end for us. Death is the beginning for us. It isn't the end of our loved ones. We're going to see them again because Jesus promised that we would see them again. So yes, there's a separation, this hole that some of you and some of us have in our hearts for those that we have lost. But don't you know that because of Jesus Christ, there's hope? That he made us that promise. John 11, 25 and 26, Jesus is speaking to Martha about the death of Lazarus. He said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He who believes in me, will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe there's hope? Sure, you read it in the Bible. Sure, we talk about it. Sure, you studied about it. Sure, you've heard lessons about it. But the question when it comes down to is you and your personal spiritual life, do you believe there's hope? Do you believe that there's hope? One of the reminders that we're going to partake of in just a moment, the emblems that you see before me here, are simply a reminder that there is hope. One man said this, for the believer, there is hope beyond the grave because Jesus Christ has opened the door for heaven, to heaven for us by his death and his resurrection. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ, we mentioned it a few weeks ago, Jesus, because of that cross, there is a bridge to heaven. There's a bridge to eternal life. 1 John 5:13, these things I have written to you, to who you believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. God says, I want you to know that. Jesus brings hope. There was a battleship that was on the lookout one foggy, dark night, and after some time, the captain noticed there was a light in front of him. And he saw, oh my goodness, if they don't change their course, we're going to collide and something is going to happen. And so he reached out and he looked and he saw him coming and he goes back in and he gets on his CB and he says, listen, you need to change your course 20 degrees. And the person came back on, they said, no, you need to change your course 20 degrees. And the captain responded, listen, I am a captain. I said for you to change your course 20 degrees. The other guy said, you know what, I'm seaman second class. You better change your course 20 degrees. And the captain became furious. He's thinking, what is wrong with this guy? Why isn't he listening to me? And finally he says, listen, I am a battleship. You change your course 20 degrees. And the other guy said, I'm a lighthouse. Change your course. It's bad. I usually save my bad jokes for my Bible class on Sunday morning, but thought I'd share that one with you. Which course are you on? Jesus is that lighthouse. Jesus will be the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never leave us. He will never change his mind on his love for us. So the question is, which way are we heading? Jesus is the light of the world, but is he the light of your life? One of the most beautiful verses talking about heaven is found in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 5. And if we would, just go ahead and please stand and prepare for our invitation song. And I want us to read this. Jesus said, Revelation 22 and verse 5, there will no longer be a night. They will no longer have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of a sun, because the Lord God will illuminate them, and they will reign forever and ever. I pray this morning that each and every one of you are being lights. And if your light is not yet shining, if you're not yet a Christian, if you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ this morning, things are ready. And if your light has grown dim and you need encouragement, you need the prayers of this church, we invite you to come down forward. We'll pray with you. We'll help you all that we can as we sing the song for your invitation.